Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
We have Sue's News in the next hour. Also, Brian Ping, St. Louis native, who is one of the anchors for KNX Radio in Los Angeles. And they've been doing an amazing job. I've really gotten into the habit of saying, and you can do this with our station, Alexa, play 97.1 FM Talk. Or Alexa, play KNX in Los Angeles on the Odyssey app, and it'll come up, and you get to hear, you know, some of the coverage that they're doing live out there. And Brian's essentially going to join us here this afternoon before he takes the air out there in L.A. We got Cusimano coming up. Also, Margie Conklin, who's with the Free Press. She wrote something last week about the Facebook fact-checker situation. And the way that she explained what happened to her in particular with her stories that got, you know, essentially spiked a few years ago during the early days of the pandemic. It really is amazing and eye-opening. And we'll get to that here in just a little bit. I have some audio, though. Let me share a little bit here, because throughout the afternoon, I will point toward audio cut of the day, and I never have the time to fit everything in. Let me take you to Florida here and Ron DeSantis, because DeSantis, and by the way, Florida and North Carolina, they're still dealing with their disasters, but somebody makes the mistake of kind of invoking Gavin Newsom, and this is with DeSantis, and DeSantis just goes off here on the reporter and on Newsom.
Is it appropriate for people in your industry to try to create division and to try to create narratives anytime these things happen? Now, you're not as interested in doing that because Newsom is a D. If Newsom was a Republican, you guys would go try to, you would have him nailed to the wall for what they're doing over there. And I know we've dealt with it. We just assume in Florida, anytime something happens, it's going to be politicized by the media. So you guys sitting in judgment of Donald Trump, I mean, excuse me, I think your track record of politicizing these things is very, very bad.
Yeah, oopsie. The reporter got a mouthful there when asked that question, and he didn't stop.
I remember when we had the Surfside Tower collapse, I had people from the Washington Post trying to blame me for it immediately without having any facts or anything. Oh, he didn't declare a state of emergency. First of all, state of emergency doesn't mean you can't respond. It's all that. Excuse me?
Biden did it. I think that's what she said.
Well, but what I'm telling you is you guys are trying to make an issue of it when I have watched from this seat. In fact, when I got elected governor, I was meeting with some of the other Republican governors, and what they would say is, hey, if you have a natural disaster, just know media's coming at you. They're going to do it. It's not the same.
So, yeah, he's right about that. You know, Gavin Newsom's been relatively quiet here the last couple of days. Remember, we played the audio on Friday. I think we played it Thursday and Friday. The woman that went up to him and, you know, basically grilled him and said, hey, we want some answers. I heard her doing several interviews over the weekend. And by the way, one of the things interesting about her is she didn't even lose her home. Her home was one that is still standing in Palisades, but she's got no neighbors or people around her. And they want answers at this point. When we left Friday, it looked like there was even some reporting that Karen Bass had fired the fire chief in Los Angeles. And they must have gotten together in her office on Friday afternoon, and there was a talking to, but no one got fired, and they emerged. But Bass is the one that's getting probably more of the criticism than anyone else, and justifiably so. And even Newsom, or I'm sorry, even DeSantis points to the fact that she's in Africa, right? She's not even around when all this breaks out a week ago.
That mayor of L.A., if that were a Republican mayor, I could only imagine what that would do.
Right?
I mean, you know the fires are at high risk, and you try to go to Africa or wherever she was to go on some type of voyage. You should have been there preparing and doing that. And yet I don't see a lot of heat being directed in that thing. And so, you know, I'd like to see some balance on how this is done. You could criticize the president-elect, but I think you also have to hold these other people accountable. And I have not seen that.
Well, I think some of that is going to happen. And, you know, one of the things that will be interesting is how much will climate change be blamed for all this? And let's just say that it's climate change. I've done this experiment several times. Let's just accept that it's climate change. It's our big SUVs. We're all to blame here in the Midwest with our pickup trucks, etc.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who cares? Well, you. How about talking about doing something about it? You know, what's the plan? This is what I'd love to hear, Sue. What would you do? You're going to rebuild the Palisades. It's too beautiful an area we hear, right? Same thing with Lahaina. It'll come back. So then what? What do you do? It's not like it's a hurricane where maybe the hurricane is going to take aim. We know that there's going to be fires. So can you protect homes? I know there's better technology for building homes that's more fireproof. So that's going to be part of it. Will you have water in a reservoir? Right. Can you plan? Because a wind event like this is going to happen again. And whether or not it's power lines or something else that causes it, it could be arson. And the winds are still going to create a problem. So quit with the blame of certainly climate change, and let's talk about how do we adapt. How do we adapt to this? How do we adapt here in the Midwest? How do we adapt everywhere? Because those are the only things that will end up getting any solutions in the long run. And obviously, they haven't planned for this. Somebody, you know, that woman actually made a really good point when I was listening to her in an interview, Sue. She said, and she grew up there in California, Palisades. She said, ever since I was in kindergarten, we've done earthquake preparedness drills, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't we? And she said her point was, we don't do anything about
fire.
This. Nobody's talking about this stuff. The warnings come down. You know the winds are going to kick up. And what have we done? So there's going to be a lot of questions that will have to be answered. Now, I mentioned, I think the Wall Street Journal is doing some really, really good reporting on this. And they sent someone out there to talk to a guy by the name of Robert Rivani, who in this story is described as a guy who spent 3 years. Now, he's of means, right? But he renovated an oceanfront mansion in Malibu on Carbon Beach. And this is one of the areas that just got, you know, devastated. The house was built. There's a picture in the Wall Street Journal. It's a beautiful modern home. It was built around an interior courtyard with a pond. The living spaces had limestone flooring and onyx on the. What is that?
Onyx
on the wall. What is that?
Black.
Okay. Along with travertine and Roman clay plaster.
Ooh, that's really nice. Travertine is a certain kind of expensive tile.
Including the price of the original home, the project cost close to $27 million.
Oh.
Now, he was going to, so he renovated this place, right? He was going to list it in the spring for $40 million. That home no longer is there. And he says, how do you sum up losing over $20 million in 24 hours to any human being? And he kind of explains the math here, because this is an area in Malibu that has about 70 houses. It's known as Billionaire's Beach because these are some of the most expensive homes out there. David Geffen had one of the big homes that I think he had maybe sold. He didn't own it anymore, but you're talking about $87 million for that home. So some of these properties are, you know, approaching even $100 million. But this guy, Rivani, who has the home that I just described, was at one of his other homes in Miami. And he got a text message from his architect asking if everything was all right with the Carbon Beach house. And he said, I don't know. And he was looking, I guess he had some cameras set up, and he was looking at a fire in what looked like the back courtyard of his house. And then he woke up the next morning, and neighbors had sent pictures, and his house was gone.
Jeez.
So then you have, you know, again, this is always going to be different based on, you know, the people or the income level, all of this stuff. But in this particular case, he's got $3 million in coverage. So even if that pays out, if it pays out, he's out more than $20 million. No other insurer would cover the property for the full replacement value. And they talk later in this story about other people who don't have, you know, $20, $40 million properties that aren't sure what their payouts are going to be. And they're not really sure if, you know, they'll be able to rebuild. So you're going to hear story upon story upon story. Some people who have means that can do it. John Goodman, he probably makes enough money, has had enough money in the bank to rebuild this home. But what about the people who can't? That's one important question moving forward. Brian Ping, though, from Los Angeles with the very latest right after Sue's News.
Get more at 971talk.com.